Thank you, Jennifer. Take your Bibles now, please, and I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading with verse 13. I'm preaching some messages on Bible prophecy, what's going to happen in the future. We've talked about the Islamic factor. We've talked about Israel, some other things that have to do with the end times. And some people are wondering what's going on in our world today and what's going to happen. What's going to happen to America? We'll address that later on in another message about America. But the rapture, and the title of the message is Gone Without a Trace. Gone Without a Trace. One of these days, and I personally think very soon, that's going to be true of those who are believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. You follow as I read these verses and concentrate on them as I read them and see what God is saying to us today. Paul is writing to believers at Thessalonica. Of course, it's not just his opinion. God's in charge, and this is his inspired word. And he says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are," and watch that word, "asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And watch what he says. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." The saved dead are going to rise first. "Then, following that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," because that's true, "comfort ye one another with these words," these very words. There's a television program on called Without a Trace, and it's supposed to be FBI agents that when someone is disappearing, they disappear very quickly. Like the young lady in Aruba, Natalie Holloway, I think is her name, just all of a sudden, without a trace, they don't know where she is, she's gone. And the little girl in Florida, Kaylee Anthony, without a trace, where are they? Well, that television program is fictitious, by the way. There is no such group that does that in the FBI and in the United States. They do put out some information and some of those things, but that's all fiction. But I believe that people are interested in the fact that one of these days, on a global scale, all over this planet, people are all of a sudden going to disappear. They're just going to be caught up and caught out of this world. Someone has estimated about 1 billion people. I don't know, maybe more, maybe less. Dr. Criswell didn't think it would be, percentage-wise, quite as high as some would think. But at any rate, we know this. Everybody who is ready, everybody who is saved, there will be a global great disappearance. Now, we have today evacuations. We used to have those in school. We'd have those at times. You always liked it because you'd get out of a boring teacher's class and they'd say, "We're going to go through this fire drill," and we'd evacuate the building, go outside, and we always hated to go right back in, you know. But the reason for that evacuation was so we would learn that if there was a real problem, a real fire, a real danger, that we would know what to do, where to go, and so on and so forth, because of the danger factor. Now, That's exactly the purpose of the rapture of the church, of the Christians that are alive when Christ returns. God does not want us to go through all of those problems. And God wants us to escape those difficulties. There are many verses that teach us that. There are going to be jets that will crash because the pilots are both saved. I always am comforted if I happen to know the pilots are saved. I like that. I remember one time getting on a plane and two women were flying. I wasn't too comforted, but at any rate, maybe they were saved. I kept looking for the pilot to come in, but they did a good job and got us there safely in the Roanoke Valley. But jets are going to crash. Trains are going to. How many? We don't know. There will be all kinds of offices evacuated. Buses with no driver and people leaving. Classes where the students, some will stay and some will leave. There'll be, in some cases, the wife will kiss her husband goodnight, and then by the time she rolls back over, he'll be gone, or vice versa. And they're going to wonder, what happened? And you may think it's a fairy tale, but it's not. It's really going to happen. It's as biblical as anything you can find. I always think about what would it be like if there was a funeral going on and the person in the casket was saved and the trump sounded. Wouldn't that be exciting to the family? It would also be exciting to the person. They would say, whoop, wow, look at that. What in the world happened? Some would be gone with them. The others would wonder, what happened to all those people? Of course, one of the ways they want to explain it is, you know, there's life on Mars and the aliens are going to come get us. It's going to happen. I just want to warn you. There are some people who really believe that. And that's one way they're going to try to explain it away. And they say, we've been telling you all along, there was little green monsters out there. They've come to Earth and they took everybody away. And what are we going to do now? Some crazy stuff. The word rapture, if you look it up, it has some different meanings, but one meaning it has is an expression, a manifestation of ecstasy or passion. Well, that's what the rapture is going to be to us, in a way. And we like that word. You have novels that are called books by the name. They have the name rapture in it. Movies that have the name rapture in it. You have even perfume that is called Rapture, and rock bands, some of them are called Rapture, and you have groups that handle them called, booking groups called Rapture. You have even golf clubs that are called Rapture Golf Clubs. I need to get me a set of those, amen, because I don't have any rapture when I play golf. But the connotation is good. The connotation is wonderful. In the world, it just reminds us that the world is looking for that ecstasy, that manifestation of passion and all. And they're looking for a rapture, something to rapture us. Well, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It comes from the Latin word rapire, which means a calling out, a calling forth, a pulling away from something. John 14, Jesus made us a promise, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise that God gives us in his holy word. It's going to take place. We're looking for it. And I'm glad that if it comes in our lifetime, obviously we're going to be spared the trauma of going through something called death. I know that I'm ready to meet the Lord, but I cannot say that I treasure the idea of going through the process of death. I have met very few people that do. We know God's grace is going to be there, but we're human beings. But we know that the Bible talks about the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we also know that he's going to come back. And we talk about signs. A little girl heard a preacher preaching and she left and she talked to her mother and she said, "Mother, the pastor says that Jesus could come at any time, but then he talks about the signs that have to be before he comes, and I don't understand." Well, let me explain to you today in case you're confused about it. The second coming of Christ is in two aspects. First, he comes for his saints. 7 years later, he comes back with his saints. And that's a different thing. First, he will come, let's say, in a stealth way. We have the stealth airplane that they cannot detect. Christ is going to come in the clouds, in the air, and only the dead in Christ and only those who are living that are saved are going to hear the trump and the sound, and we're going to go up and be with the Lord. The rest are not going to have that ecstatic experience that you and I are going to have. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." You see, one of these days, that's going to happen too. But first he comes for us in the clouds, in the air, and then he comes back with us, all of the saints, to set up his kingdom on the face of the earth. But there are no events. When we talk about the signs, we're talking about the signs of things that happened during the tribulation just before Christ comes back with the saints. If we see those signs in place, if we see those things that could happen, then how much closer do you think the rapture is? Because there's nothing that has to happen before Christ comes for his bride and we hear the sound of the trumpet. He can do it any moment. He could do it right in the middle of my message. Wouldn't that make a lot of you happy? Amen. In more ways than one. It'd make me happy too, by the way. But I thank God that that's going to take place. Now he tells us some more in 1 Thessalonians 13. We unravel the rapture. Look at what he says. "I would not have you to be ignorant." He didn't want them to be ignorant about it. "Concerning them which are," look at the term he uses, "asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He talks about those that have gone to sleep in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful way to describe the death of a loved one? As a matter of fact, you find very little about the word death in relationship to when the saints die in the New Testament. Paul didn't hardly refer to it like that, nor did the other saints in the New Testament refer to it. So many times they refer to it as a moving out. They refer to it as a sleep. Now, we're not teaching soul sleep, because remember, the soul and spirit go on to be with the Lord, but the body goes to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in place, wherever it may be, whether it's been burned up by fire, the elements are there, whether it's been buried at sea, the elements are there, whether it's in a regular routine grave or whatever it may be, the elements are all there, and God knows where they are. But the term asleep is used so many times with Lazarus, with David, even with the Lord Jesus Christ, and even with Stephen. Those terms are used to talk about it. For instance, John 11:11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. "But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." That's a beautiful story, isn't it? When Christ let him die and then he showed up. And he called for that. The Greek word that Christians adapted for that word to describe the death of Christians always refers to this. And the Greek word literally means this: a rest house for strangers, or a sleeping house. A rest house for strangers, or a sleeping house. Does that remind you of anything else? How about a hotel? How about a motel? I stop by sometimes when we make that long trek to Roanoke, Virginia, and sometimes we'll spend the night and we just stop by and sleep for a little while, 4 or 5 hours, and wake up and get on the road again. That's what he's talking about. In other words, it is a temporal situation. It is not a permanent situation. Our bodies are not permanently going to be in the grave. It is not finality. And he confirms our hope when he talks about it. He says, even as others which have no hope, he says they're just asleep, like sleeping in a motel a little while, but they're going to wake up. It's not permanent. He says, for if we believe, verse 14, that Christ died and rose again. I believe that. How about you? That's why I'm a Christian. Among other reasons is because I have a living Savior who died and was buried and arose. No other religion can say that. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What a fantastic statement that is we have. And we know that our hope is confirmed. He says, sorrow not as those which have no hope. Now, folks, he didn't say don't cry. He didn't say don't have sorrow. When my mother died, I grieved. When my daddy died, I grieved. When my sister died, I grieved. When my two brothers died, I grieved. That's all right. God never said that we are not to grieve. And he understands that. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote these words, we long for the touch of a vanished hand and the sound of a voice that is still. Isn't that true? We long for a touch of a vanished hand and that our loved ones could just speak to us one more time. We all begin to think about that a lot, I think, at the holidays, during Christmas. I stopped by the other day. I got to the hospital a little early, and I had planned before Brother Gaiman had his procedure, and I went out to the cemetery there by the hospital in Arlington and stood at the foot of the graves of my uncle and my aunt who influenced me so much, and also of my cousin's husband and two of their little children that are buried there. And I just meditated a little while, and then I went on and made my calls, and after that I was coming back on old Highway 80, 180. I like to come back for nostalgic reasons and go back through there. And I came to the cemetery where my first cousin and my brother are buried. And I thought, well, I've got just a minute before lunch. And I drove by and stood at the foot of their graves. Not to be morbid, not to grieve in great grief. But I just stood there and I thought, you know, one of these days, praise God, they're going to come out of those graves. You say, you're morbid. No, I believe the Bible. I just wanted to go by, and I know that they're there, sleep in that grave. The soul and spirit is in heaven. But I also know what the Bible says. I have a hope that I'm going to see him again. Amen. It's not an iffy hope. Thank God it is the absolute sure thing. I will see my loved ones again. And so will you. A touch of a vanished hand and the sound of a voice. That is still, we have the promise of the rapture. And I want to tell you that the promise of the rapture has consoled and comforted millions over the years. Because we know we're going to see our loved ones again. It's not finality. It's a tough time. Verse 15 talks a little bit about the chronology of the deal, the time measurement, chronos, measurement of time, the chronology of it. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. See, some of us are going to be living when Jesus returns. And it could happen any time. We say unto you that the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to hinder or prevent. A better rendering probably of that word would be that we're not going to precede them. They died, all of those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, or we say are asleep, that it happened before the rapture, we are not going to hinder or prevent or precede them. That's the order God gives us. He says, we which are alive are not going to precede them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. By the way, it's not going to be the Holy Spirit as such, or some other being, or the angels. It's going to be him. It's going to be the Lord himself. Nobody else. He's going to come in the clouds, in the air. And I thank God that that's the order of the priorities. It's a return. It's really the Lord. And the believers are going to hear the dead in Christ. You see, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead, he called his name. If he had just said, "Arise," all of the saved people would have come out of the tomb. But it was a select one by the name of Lazarus. And one of these days, there's going to be a select group that Jesus is going to say, "It's time to wake up. It's time to arise. Come out of that grave. Come out of that place of your burial. Out of that urn," or whatever it may be. And God is going to put the elements back together, and there'll be a glorified body. Winston Churchill planned his own funeral. And as he planned the funeral, he being a Christian, he said after the closing prayer and the singing, they would sing "God Save the Queen." That would usually be one of the last things. And then the bishop or whoever would close in a prayer. But he had a trumpeter placed at the highest point in the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. He had that trumpeter placed there so that after the prayer, he played what we would call taps, or the last post. But what people didn't know is he had someone else on a high place in a different location. And as soon as the last note of taps went away, he had another trumpeter playing louder, "Reveille." Amen. Isn't that great? Because we're going to come out of the grave. He wanted everybody to know that he believed in the resurrection. And so that trumpet's going to sound someday. It's going to be the call to the sleep that have followed Jesus to rise. There will be a resurrection. And this is only, by the way, for dead believers, those who have gone to sleep in Christ. Later on, there'll be another resurrection. And then there'll be the great white throne. That's later, but this is only for the believers who are going to be raised from the tomb, from the grave. A rapture is going to take place. Verse 17, getting back, I hope it's going to be us. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." To meet the Lord in the air. Thank God for that. 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul said, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The dead will be raised to never die again. The dead will be raised to be given a body that is like the Lord Jesus Christ, an incorruptible body. And we which are alive at that time will be changed, and we'll be given a body like that, and we'll go up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Almost makes you want it to happen right now. Well, really, we should. That's what the Bible teaches. The rapture. You say, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, we have Old Testament realities. Enoch and Elijah. These are proofs, even in the Old Testament, that such a thing can and will take place. I also like this word. There will be a reunion. Hallelujah. There'll be a rapture. A resurrection, there'll be a reunion. Up there, if we die in this life before the rapture, our soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. We just sort of go to sleep in Jesus. Soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. Nothing frightening, shouldn't be frightening. We just go right on to be with the Lord. And by the way, your loved ones are not out there at the cemetery. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go back and visit, I do. But they're not there. But they're up there. If they're saved, their soul and spirit's going to come back. And in a miracle of God, he'll put all the elements together. You say, "Well, how can he do that if somebody burned up?" By the way, that was the original intent of cremation. It was to fly in the face of Christians to say that, "Hey, you say your loved one's going to be raised from the dead? We're going to burn them up. Now let's see God do that." Like it's a problem to God. God took a little dirt and made us. Breathe into he made the sun and the moon and the stars and this planet, everything else. And then he made man out of the dirt of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God will have no problem putting the elements back together. We don't understand all that, but up in Indiana, where I used to live, it snowed. Then the sun had sucked that up about March. Get rid of the rest of it. And then after a while, we wouldn't have any rain. Then all of a sudden, that same stuff would cycle back around and be rain. And then the clouds and the sun, it would go back up. And then later on, it'd come back around. So we're going to snow a little while on you. All the very same elements, just in different forms. That's the way God's going to do it. God will handle it. There will be no problem. There will be a reunion, body and soul. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord comes for his bride and we all go up to heaven together? And my mama and my daddy and my brother and brothers and sister be given a glorified body. And I'll jump out of this one into my new one. Maybe I'll see Bobby on the way up and say, "Hey, man, I'm going to beat you. You used to beat me. You were faster than me, but I'm going to try to beat you to heaven's door." I don't know. I imagine we'll all arrive about the same time. Amen. That's Weaverology, so don't take that to the store. But one thing I can guarantee you, we're going to all meet the Lord. Amen. We're going to all meet the Lord. Now, how do we live knowing that's true? How do we live knowing that's true? Well, we ought to live knowing we're saved and ready. Some of you in this building today, I'm sure in a crowd of this many here, over 300 people in the auditorium, others in children's church and around. But I want to tell you that some of you probably aren't saved. You're not ready. Oh, dear friend, what I'm telling you today is the gospel truth right out of the Word of God. You say, "Well, preacher, how do I get ready? Do I just join your church?" No, no. Well, what do I do? Do I just get baptized? No, no. Well, do I just try to turn over a new leaf and try to live a better life? Is that it? Do I join some church somewhere? Can the church save me? No! The church cannot save you. You have to come by way of the cross. You've got to come to Jesus. He's the only one that'll save you and get you ready for the rapture. You have to confess you're a sinner, trust him, be willing to repent. Yes, repentance is still in the Bible. And turn from to the Lord Jesus Christ, get saved, and then you won't miss it. You won't miss it. You'll go up to be with the Lord. You got to be saved. But to those of us who are saved, we are to be looking for his coming, but we're to be living right, like we really believe he could come at any moment. That means we'll judge sin. That means we won't play church. That means we won't be half-hearted about serving God. That means we won't neglect our responsibilities in the ministries we have. That means we'll be sold out and out, totally, completely, without reservation. No bars held back. We will be sold out to Jesus. What if he were to come today? You've got something in your life, a bad habit, a practice, something God's not pleased with, an attitude, and you just know that you're not really where God wants you to be. You're just not on fire for God, not revived, not living at your best. There have been times in your life in the past he's had more of you and more of your time and more of your talent, more of your treasure, but not so now. Ah, dear friend, he could come. I promise you, he could come at any moment. Are you Christian? Ready? You say, "Well, yeah, I'm saved." No, I mean, are you really ready? Are you living like you're ready for him to come today? If not, you ought to do something about it. Amen. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed, and I tell you, one of these days, nobody knows just when, but as we look at all of the signs, significant signs about the return of Christ with his saints, obviously we can see that the rapture is going to take place before that. And I personally believe It could very well happen in our lifetime. Are you ready? Are you saved? If not, we invite you to step out from where you are, come to the front, meet me or one of these workers, and just say, I don't want to miss the rapture. I want to be ready. I want to know that I'm saved. You don't get saved by being baptized, joining the church, all of those things, religious things. That's not it. You must, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born from above, born by the Spirit of God. Won't you come today and be saved? Christian, you know what God said to you. You know what He spoke to you about. Father, bless and have your will. And I pray for those that are unsaved. We love them and you love them. And Jesus was born, came to this world to become their Redeemer and die on the cross. And you've paid all their sin debt through your Son. And all they have to do is come receive the wonderful gift, the greatest Christmas gift they could ever get. The gift of sins forgiven and the glorious promise of eternal life, not in hell, but in heaven. I pray today if there's someone like that, oh God, that they would come. I pray you'd speak to Christians. Maybe there are those here that you're leading to join our church. May you help them to come forward and do that, or to rededicate their lives, whatever the need may be. We pray and ask all of this now in our lovely and precious Savior's name. Amen.